defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Well, Owen Benjamin is a really funny comedian, smart guy, very popular talk show host. And he's written How to Slay a Wizard, How to Get Out of the Mind Control. That's coming up. But right now, I want to just hear a few minutes of myself this morning, kind of predicting what was happening. The ceasefire has fallen through. They're now saying UAE, United Arab Emirates, Mirage, 200 nine fighters have been bombing their oil fields all over Iran. The whole thing's disintegrated. Israel's blowing up Lebanon, promises to continue on. Trump is not in control. This is a complete disaster. You just heard Michael Savage, no fan of the mullahs, saying this war needs to end right now. Israel's getting ready to probably nuke. I mean, this is bonker town. Then I saw the neocons on X this morning, Levin attacking me, going, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happening. Buddy, you don't know anything, and you've shown that, okay? This is all I do. It's so ridiculous. I've called this all. It was so easy to call. It's all been wargamed. Do you even know what a war game is? Do you know what the Rand Corporation is? Do you know what the Army War College is? Do you know any of that? No. You know how to sit there and get us into a disaster, you idiot. You moron. Let's go to clip of me this morning. So, did the United States lose the war with Iran? Did Israel lose the war with Iran? That's what Iran's saying. That's what a lot of analysts are saying. Because Trump accepted this ceasefire for them to open the Strait of Hormuz. I'll answer that question. Iran's saying things that aren't true. The U.S. is saying things that aren't true. I just spent a couple hours last night and today making calls, reading over the documents. J.D. Vance, back channel through Pakistan, was able to get them to tacitly accept some of Trump's points. Trump accepted some of theirs, but it's only a ceasefire for now. Now, Fox News tried to deceive everybody, low information viewers, many of them, and so do the bots and influencers on X, that, oh, this is a great victory. Iran accepted all of the points. No, they didn't. They're also spinning it that Iran violated the ceasefire because they're still shooting missiles at Israel and some of the other neighbors that have U.S. bases in them. That's because Israel said last night, Netanyahu said last night, you look at it on X, that Israel's going to keep bombing. And so the ceasefire is only that the U.S. will stop bombing Iran for now, and that they will open the Strait of Hormuz for now. So Iran did not win. The United States did not get its objectives. And I would imagine, I hope it's not the case, that this ceasefire will fall apart very, very quickly. But Trump had such a disastrous response to the polling numbers and from even Republicans in the Congress when he was saying, we'll destroy your civilization tonight. And clearly the definition of genocide will never come back. There was such a backlash that Trump listened to Vance and Tulsi Gabbard and pulled back for now. So this is a pause in the insanity. And bottom line, the Iranians can keep the Strait closed indefinitely unless there's regime change. Trump now knows he was lied to by Mark Levin. Now, for all the neocons declaring victory and saying Trump played 85,000 D chess and that we got a peace deal and that's why he threatened them and everything, Mark Levin was beside himself last night, and the clips are on X, I'll post it, we're all shown, saying we basically lost, this is a capitulation, this is terrible, we got to fight for the last American, because, you know, he's Jonathan Pollard 2.0, and he's just totally freaking out, and so are the neocons, and so is the Israel lobby. So for all of you declaring, see, Alex, it was good to say we'll destroy their whole civilization and apply, we'll use nukes. See, they gave in. No. They came a couple steps forward, but Trump made the main step forward, and now they've opened the Strait of Hormuz for now. So this is just a pause, just like the other Korean War. The war never ended, just became a ceasefire. Well, it's held for 60 plus years. So we will see how long this holds forever. But this is far from over. It's obviously, oil hit $150 a barrel yesterday.
That was a few more minutes left. See you on X. I go in to predict it. I think the ceasefire would fall apart. By the time I got out of the car at 7:45 at the office, it had already fallen apart. And the Iranians have closed the strait again. That's official. But Caroline Levitt says they didn't. I mean, I've never seen such disinformation on the White House. It's truly saddening. We'll be right back.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. the InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
All right, so Israel continued bombing Iran and Lebanon. Also, no one's saying who's doing it, but Iran says it's the United Arab Emirates sending in Mirage French fighters blowing up their oil fields. So there are a bunch of forces don't want this to stop. Meanwhile, Iran closed the strait again, which they've been in control of. Trump tried to say in the last month it wasn't closed. Caroline Leavitt says the Iranian reports the Strait of Hormuz is closed or false. But you can pull up the live active transponder sites, pull up the latest, and it's closed. Two ships went through this morning. Now it's closed again. The Iranians said they closed it. And then we have this original report that Vance brokered. Trump agreed. Now Trump says, I'm not agreeing to that. Now there's a new plan. So no peace deal was made. That stuck. This is totally falling apart. When oil hit $150 a barrel, which will totally kill our recovery and more, Trump panicked. Vance, as I told you this morning, people are like, we don't see he's leading it. He officially led this deal. He's now leading the current operation. So I got that from people with Vance at the meeting in Hungary. Okay, last night. I got it before anybody else had it in the news. So I'd love to see this shut down. I wish it never happened. But this at the higher level, the 100,000 foot level, is about the Great Reset. It's about derailing the global economy. It's what BlackRock wants. It's COVID 2.0. I'm the first to say that. Many other economists are now saying that. Kasner, Austin, Fitch, you name it. Joining us for the balance of the hour, maybe even longer, into the fourth, we can hit some other topics as well, maybe take some calls if he does that. Owen Benjamin, known him a long time, used to be in movies, a bunch of other stuff, got sick of it, moved up to North Idaho, he's a popular comedian, podcaster, and he's got a new book out that I can't wait to read as soon as I get some time, and we'll show you that right now. It's How to Slay a Wizard, not just How to Slay a Dragon, and he's not talking about a literal Gandalf, he means the globalist manipulators, and so it's available for free on Amazon. Well, that's nice. And ladle.tv, owenbenjamin.com, ladle, L-A-D-L-E.tv, and at Owen Benjamin on X. So, a lot to talk about. Obviously, we should get your take up front on the Iran crisis, Trump, what he's turned into. I mean, he wasn't perfect before, but man, he's really, in the last 8 months, like a fruit rotting on your table, has worms all over it now. Then you want to get into NASA and the moon mission, Artemis II, nuclear bombs, what makes science special, how it relates to Christianity versus the Phariseeism. What is a wizard? Tools a wizard, hypnotic language, weaponized tension, three-stage response, the one lie, psychological prediction, wizard spells in plain sight, what is 4D chess, words and other definitions, people's names, and the Wizard of Oz, and why Owen's book, How to Slay a Wizard, is number one in rhetoric. So look forward to that. Owen, great to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. And I think my take on all this right now is it's the best time to talk about wizard spells and word magic, because when you were just talking about Trump kind of, you know, falling apart, that's the inevitable outcome of wizardry. Is it the lies overtake people and then they become complete inversions of themselves, where it's actually structured like a joke, which is why my comedic background is kind of interesting for predicting and talking about world events.
Great cover, and I've heard you talk about wizards. You do a great job. I can't wait to read it. So, yeah, Trump, what happened to him, or what do you think is going on? I mean, it's insane. Like, I will vaporize you. I will kill your civilization. You'll never come back. The definition of genocide And he wonders why people turn against him. What are we supposed to sign on to? We'll kill everyone. We'll kill you all. We're liberating you. Do what I say or I'll use nukes on you, basically.
Yeah, what I find so strange is the normalization of this wizardry as far as like the art of the deal. Like, I'll point out how insane he sounds, and people will say, oh, it's just a negotiating tactic. He's just moving the anchor price, the Overton window, and all that stuff. And it's that comfort with wizardry leads America down the road of low trust, where liars won't work anymore. It becomes actually like very tedious. They become very hated. And my father was a professor of rhetoric, and I studied tyrannical government takeovers in the Czech Republic. Like, that was my major in college. Like, I've been very interested in this stuff my whole life. And my dad taught, he did a keynote speech once in Hiroshima, and we can talk about nuclear bombs. I think that's a great topic to get right into. And I was taught that nuclear bombs have this fallout radiation for billions and billions of years and thousands of years, and it'll poison the lakes and the streams, and it ruins the world. And I remember being terrified that my dad was going to go give a keynote speech in Hiroshima about rhetoric. And everyone was like, no, it's fine now. It's fine. There's no problem. And I'm like, but isn't, what about the nuclear bomb? And that kind of led me down the road of, you know, how spells control countries and people's minds, and this constant threat of terror of like someone can hit a button and the world ends. It just becomes extremely manipulative. And people actually get really mad at you when you break the spell because their identity gets so tied in with the fear.
You're talking about boomers in the 50s, 60s, 70s. Duck and cover, get under your desk, showing everybody getting nuked, creating really big fear of nuclear war. Is that where you're going with that?
Yeah, it's trauma rituals. Like, I remember we'd have these little cardboard desks because my town had 3 nuclear power plants. Nuclear energy is totally real. Like, of course, that's real. It's just boiling water and it turns giant turbines. And they would always say that the Russians were always about to nuke us, and we do these duck and cover drills under our cardboard desks. And I'd be like, if it vaporizes all the flesh in the world, then what's the point? And that cognitive dissonance is the wizardry, where it's not supposed to make sense. It's supposed to exhaust you to the point where you'll just do anything someone says. And that's why a lot of these things are supposed to be confusing. Like when Trump says the war is just getting started and it's over, like in the same sentence. And people have a hard time understanding what the point of that is.
And he also says we've had regime change over and over again. Yeah, you killed people, but the regime's still there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's these contradictory things. And then, you know, they'll do the Iron Man script about the fallen pilot that's in the cave and emerges on Easter and all this stuff. And you're like, yeah, I think you took that from Iron Man, dude. You know, and people are like, so you think it's made up? I'm like, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the truth is, but
well, there's no doubt that raid was an attempt to grab a bunch of uranium hidden in an airbase, and it failed. So they made it all about a pilot that got shot down in association with it. So you kill one story with another.
Yeah, and uranium is extremely threatening to the global order, and it's very valuable because it threatens, you know, the oil, petrodollar and all that, because it's phenomenal. Nuclear power just boils water and turns turbines. But, like, take, for example, Japan, Hiroshima, and Nagasaki. You know, I saw the wizard, you know, I heard you talking about Mark Levin. Is that his name? Such a wizard.
Yes.
And he's, like, trying to get Trump, you know, it's, like, right out of, you know, Narnia. It's, like, those witches that are, like, strike them down, you know? And if you actually look at Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki weren't in the top 10 most destroyed cities. You know, America was firebombing everything. Tokyo was far more destroyed. And I believe they quit the war because 1.5 million Russians invaded Manchuria 48 hours after the quote-unquote nuclear bomb. And there was only one journalist allowed to report on it in America. He was a Lithuanian Jewish gentleman. And anybody else was, it was considered treason. And so there wasn't actually a higher rate of cancer. You know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think that the nuclear bomb spell, as far as like, just wait till your father comes home, he'll nuke the world. Yeah, I posted that. That's hilarious. Like Hiroshima versus Detroit. You know, if they want to switch N bombs, I'm down. Because our N bombs destroy cities a little more than Hiroshima.
Well, we know deindustrialization as well, and liberal policies have put people on welfare.
I was just being fine. I'm not claiming it's just a certain race of people.
I was just responding. But let's talk about nuclear weapons. And guys, you can pull up graphs showing the power of Fat Man Little Boy. Just pull up graphs showing the power of Fat Man Little Boy versus modern hydrogen bombs. If you look at, and I've seen the graphs. So, overhead shot, I'll just give you, since they can't pull up a graph, I'll be able to do it in a minute myself. Just overhead shot piece of paper, I'll show people this way. It's fine. Just overhead shot right here. So, here's the power of, you know, Fat Man and Little Boy. And then...
Such weird name, too, huh?
Yeah. And then the circle of a modern hydrogen bomb, you know, depending on the size, would be a circle all around this entire building. That's how much more powerful. Now, these were also built to be clean atomic bombs in the fission process. And most of the ones we have are clean now. They have a thing called a dirty bomb or a doomsday bomb where you jacket it in something like cobalt. And then it is extremely radioactive. That's why Hiroshima or Nagasaki is nothing compared to a Chernobyl or a Fukushima, because that's a meltdown in a reactor. And, you know, I knew a guy that was a submarine captain that ran the government submarine rescue boats. And they just had a small leak, and it killed, and a few years later, killed a lot of people that were around it with horrible cancers. But, yeah, here's a graph. Give me an idea. So, yeah, they definitely used the fear of this to get us in line. But here's the deal. You know why, in the studies, even with above ground, that there's not a ton of radiation even a few days later, there's some fallout. When you detonate an atomic bomb or hydrogen bomb in an airburst, when the chain reaction's happening, you know, that's the big white ball you see, and then the blast goes down and destroys the ground. That's just a fire blast, and then it rises up into a mushroom cloud. That is because there's no metal that it combines with. But if you drop a hydrogen or atomic bomb on the ground, every type of metal it combines with, not just cobalt, but a bunch of others, creates... I mean, just a few pounds of cobalt in a hydrogen bomb going off is like dozens of Fukushima. So I think that's where the confusion here happens. Nuclear weapons are very clean compared to nuclear reactors. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but how do you know that? Like, everything you just said, where did you get that information from, that cobalt, you know, mixes with all this stuff and gets filthy and magnifies into the mega blast and all that stuff?
Well, they know the isotopes. That's how they can tell where something was made, what it was done, what's melting down. That's how they know when a reactor in France is having problems. Private scientists can show it. They know what the fuel is. They know what's going on. Max Planck, by about 1895, wrote the equations for atomic bombs. And then later, quantum mechanics and physicists picked it up and got popularized as the inventors of it, but that was taken and made, you know, from theoretical to action with the Manhattan Project. But these equations is how we have all the other science, and really, the atomic systems are tinker toys compared to all the fission fusion and superconducting super colliders and the particle research that has been done. So people can argue with the theoretical mathematics of it, but it's been expanded out and duplicated in much of the sciences we see today.
See, this is the thing. You're touching on what I consider wizardry, because science, the miracle of science is that you can independently verify things for yourself. It's very similar to what Jesus's message was to the Pharisee, where, you know, you don't need a special boy hat and bloodline to connect or commune with God. It's where two or three gather in my name. Science is like that, where you make empirical observations, you get a hypothesis, you set up a controlled experiment, you theorize, and then you encourage your friends and people you respect to rip it apart to see if it works. And over time, it may or may not become a law. The whole trust me, bro, science, where it's like, trust the science, Max Planck, he scribbled, you know, nonsense on a chalkboard. I was raised by academics. You know, my father went to Oxford. I've been around these people my whole life, and it's about manipulation. And you can see it with, you know, trust the science of transgenderism, trust the science of global warming and global cooling.
There's no doubt there's a bunch of lies and it's gotten worse. But, I mean, how do you think we shoot a cruise missile down a chimney? How do you think your cell phone works? How do you think... Go back to school. Remember, you could get a chemistry set and put two things together and it explodes. You can go buy that thing yourself and you can do that. I mean, so...
Exactly. That's my whole point. So what you described as this nuclear fission reaction that creates this like massive flesh destroying. And don't get me wrong, there's weapons that are freaking horrifying. I'm not saying that there's nothing to not worry about. I mean, chemical gas, mustard gas, people puke their lungs up and they melt.
Sure, are you saying that these above ground tests that ended like in the 70s and stuff? Because I had family that was involved in that, went out and did it. And I had family that ran Nike missile batteries in Turkey. Okay, and people that were at test who were there, and people go, it was 20, it was 100,000 pounds of TNT. No, I had family that was there, you know, basically not wiring the bombs, but they were there. It wasn't TNT.
No, I think nuclear bombs do exist in a different sense. Like, I think that they can penetrate very deep into the ground. What makes nuclear bombs uniquely terrifying is quote-unquote fallout radiation that poisons life for millions of years. When we were told when we were kids that there was going to be a nuclear winter where nothing grows forever, and that's when you see the wizardry. Now,
and that's made to make you give up on life, not have children, be fatalistic.
Exactly.
Just like global warming and the world's going to end and
Exactly. And that's why I'm not saying everything's just TNT. I think some of these bunker busters might be a form of nuclear bomb. So right when I just said that, someone would say, "Oh, so you just admitted they're real?" No, the thing I'm
no, rockets are real, but then the space program's mainly fake.
I mean, the space program.
It's like guys that think their women to take hormones are real, but they're not really a woman. It's like there's some basis in the lie.
Right. Like there's phenomenal rockets and there's phenomenal, like, supersonic missiles that can just absolutely destroy stuff. But that was never that wasn't why we hid under desks. It wasn't because of rubble. And, you know, in studying World
War II, definitely use it for mind control, and that's declassified.
Exactly. And so, you know, the trauma rituals of being under your desk, because what they figured out is when you survive bombings, you actually get stronger. You know, they figured this out with the Blitz in London, where when the Germans would drop a bunch of bombs, the most psychologically traumatized people would be over the hill from it, where they could kind of invent these stories in their head. If you actually survive war, many times they would lose the fear of death and they would become actually very hard to conquer. And so this has been this is kind of like how you get someone docile to the point of giving up before there's even a fight.
No, that's right. You're creating victims. Well, I mean, what do they think killing the mullahs and bombing the Iranians are going to do? They're more pro-mullah than ever.
Exactly. They're like creating what they claim they were stopping. Like when someone kills your pope, when someone kills your family, it's like it doesn't stop you. It makes you almost fearless. And that's why, and I don't mind if we do this to enemies. I actually don't mind that a CIA exists to mess with the minds of our enemies so that we don't have to have a kinetic war. But I don't like that they do it to us. And I'm going to write books showing people, because every wizard requires deception and concealment. As soon as you understand how it works, it doesn't work.
Let's start here. Let's define a wizard.
Yeah, a wizard, by the definition, is they require concealment and they thrive on keeping the audience from seeing what they're doing versus, you know, somebody that's just doing rhetoric. Like, rhetoric is just the emotional component of a message, you know, but wizardry.
A wizard creates a whole fake world of lies upon lies. And COVID was the ultimate example of that. Premeditated, run by Pentagon, SIWAR, that's all declassified, total control to hurt people and just turn us into victims.
Absolutely. And they borrow power with credibility, with charged words. Like, they'll take a word and they'll charge it, kind of like science. Like, science is an amazing miracle, you know? And then they'll start using that word to do their nonsense. They'll be like, well, it's just the science that COVID, that you have to have your mask on while you're walking into a restaurant, and then you get to take it off to eat unless you're gay, and then you get to go on a parade.
Or if Black Lives Matter, you can march, and it's good for COVID. Anybody else going outside gets arrested. So Fauci would kind of be the ultimate little wizard. He even looks like a little evil leprechaun.
Bro, the funniest wizardry out of Fauci is AIDS, because, like, people always forget that Fauci was the AIDS guy. And if you look at the mascots of AIDS, dude, this is when it just becomes comedy. It's like, you have Magic Johnson, which literally means like wizard penis, like a magical Johnson, and Greg Louganis. And people forget that. And so while they were rolling out AIDS, people also forget, and I have this on Ladle, I documented all of it. There was a diet pill called AIDS, that would, it was AYDS, that they would play simultaneously as they're scaring the world about AIDS. They're like, look at Magical Johnson. And then they'd be like, the next commercial would be like, hey, Deborah, you look really thin. And she's like, it's AIDS. And so I named that polarity seeding, where you get these two hyper contradicting things in the zeitgeist at the same time, because the whole point is to get your mind to kind of start spinning the wheel like on a computer, so you buffer. And then, like, the whole goal is to detach the living man from his own senses and his own soul, and then seek authority in whoever is messing with your head. And that, because a wizard has no power without the living man choosing to give them power.
Well, how is the reign of the wizards going?
Not well, because that's how debt always ends. It's like, it always ends the same way. When you do abracadabra, when you start just creating things with people's emotional reactions, you manipulate trust. Because what made America great is the high trust, high charity, high logos, high logic, where people, you know, trust each other enough where they can help each other when you're down and you work through problems. And I know usually when I come on the show, I talk about farming, and I can, it almost seems idealistic, and I'm this optimistic guy. It's actually very dark. I mean, it's like, what I see possibly coming is absolutely horrifying. I just try not to jack people's cortisol. Wizardry leads to absolute famine. And that's what I studied in Eastern Europe in college, where lies get to a point when you're not bringing in the fertilizer. Lies get to a point where there's so much corruption that there's no food in the stores. And most genocide isn't by, you know, most genocide isn't these bombs or AIDS.
No, it's
or
a breakdown
COVID.
Of civilization where there's no trust.
Yeah. And it's atomization. It's people not being friends. That's why I make fun of people. That's why, because when you have that ability to hear something that goes against your identity, because I piss off a lot of people, because their identity gets tied to a wizard spell. And it's not even that I'm going at them. I'm going at the spell.
When you say it's a false political, social, cultural idea that they're committed to.
Yeah, like take the moon landing. And I'm not even going to say it definitely didn't happen. But if I...
No, obviously what we were shown is fake.
Yeah, and if I just say the government, which I do not trust already, is saying they lost the footage and all, like, they lost it. Oops.
And destroyed the Saturn rocket that cost like $50 million.
Yeah, and they no longer have the tech to go back. I have a right to not trust them anymore. And so people would say, why would they lie? And it's because one classic spell to get someone docile is, this is the greatest achievement that's ever happened, and you'll never do it again, and we'll go back in the future. Just hold tight. And so I'll make fun of the moon landing and call the moon lander like a meth head's tree fort or just something funny. And people act like I'm attacking their grandfather, you know, kind of like a second ago when you were saying, you know, I have relatives that worked on the Manhattan Project. I mean, one of my best friend's grandfather helped build the moon rover and worked with Wernher von Braun, you know, and it's like, I'm not.
Yeah, let's be clear. I didn't say I had people on the Manhattan Project. No, people just after that testing.
Missiles
and then testing nuclear weapons.
Yeah. And so sometimes I get this, people will say, like, are you calling my grandfather a liar? And I'm like, no. And so that's when identity gets mixed with spells. And I try to free people from that.
Yeah, there's also a bigger problem. So many people don't believe anything now. They think all the courthouses are 5,000 years old and nothing got built here, and that, you know, everything is something. And meanwhile, I can go find. Well, I'll tell you about it when I come back. My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. And I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. You get our ultra methylene blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
In the heart of what was once the rugged, unyielding Republic of Texas, Governor Greg Abbott stands exposed as a willing participant in the quiet handover of the Lone Star State.
As long as I'm governor of this great state, Texas will be a land for the Indian community, a land for
Africa. Abbott's recent directive freezing new H-1B petitions for state agencies and universities now rings hollow.
Governor Abbott made the announcement directing all public universities and state agencies to freeze new H-1B visa applications. Governor Abbott was on the Mark Davis radio show talking about his plan.
What job is it in our public schools in the state of Texas that these H-1B visas personnel are fulfilling that we can't fulfill here in our own public schools? I mean, those are exactly the types of questions that we're looking at.
A superficial gesture after years of courting the very demographic overhaul now transforming Texas suburbs into Little India.
Now, I wanted to come to this area because as you guys can see behind me, this is a residential area and you have this very large, very intricate temple that is in this location where you quite frankly would not expect it. And one of the first things I saw when we got here was a huge pile of shoes outside, because you cannot wear shoes inside the temple. So you have a lot of people that are walking around this area barefoot. And I actually went inside myself because I wanted to go check it out. And when you get inside, you see people worshiping multiple deities. And the one that did stick out to me was the area where people were going to pray for blessings of health and also for work visas. Now, we're in Frisco, Texas, and going back to that changing demographic, back in 2010, you had about 10% Asian or Indian population in this area. That has since surged to over 30%. And on top of that, Texans telling me as well that some of these school districts now primarily are made up of demographically Asian students. So this is one of the ways that the culture is changing up here. You have multiple Hindu temples all over the DFW area.
Multiple H-1B linked companies registered to single addresses have funneled donations to Frisco, Texas's first Indian mayor.
Take a look at this room of full of concerned citizens. They want you to answer questions about why some of the mayor's biggest donors are Indians that don't live in Frisco. Is it because the mayor's real estate business, or is he being bought out to ignore an Indian takeover? Why are people with multiple H-1B companies registered to one address donating to Frisco's first Indian mayor? We know Fortune 100 companies are employing foreigners on H-1B visas, but why are Indians in Frisco opening up their own businesses tied to H-1B? It's not a coincidence that Frisco's Indian population exploded 4,510%, and there's potential visa fraud here.
The H-1B program landed in Texas with the 1990 Immigration Act. Sold as a narrow fix for specialized skill shortages, what followed was a flood, especially from India, turning tech corridors and booming suburbs into outposts of chain migration and wage arbitrage.
I came here on H-1B 2004. Everybody was Americans. But the fast forward, now you don't see any Americans.
Where are you from?
Hyderabad.
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 I'm from India. I'm
from India.
Where in India?
Hyderabad?
Why do you think Frisco became such a big hub for Indians?
They have their own community here. Okay.
No, it's not like that.
Not like that here in Frisco?
No.
Motherland India or Texas, USA?
Oh, obviously Motherland India.
Obviously Motherland India.
Hyderabad, of course.
Really? Did you come here on H-1B?
Yeah.
I'm on H-1B.
H-1B?
Yeah.
You're H-1B?
Yeah.
Working here at 7-Eleven?
Yeah.
We need more or less H-1B people here?
We need a lot less. I have two master's degrees. I was making over $100,000 a year. They said, you're too expensive. We're going to hire Indians.
Now, in looking into some of these companies, I think there may be more than meets the eye. Why not check in and see what we find? This one is Tech Bits. On the LCA, we've got two 2025 workers on site. I don't think anyone is here at Tech Bits.
This is colonization. This isn't immigration. The Indian loyalty remains overseas. Cultural enclaves form parallel economies, and American families get priced out or pushed aside. This isn't stewardship. It's selling Texas out. While private sector H-1B abuse rolls on unchecked, the governor's cozy relationship with the Indian community betrays the very people who built Texas. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Yeah, that's the problem, is it's not just the Somalis and the rest of it. The system, and Republicans are just as much involved at many levels, set it up to come here and get all this free stuff, and then these groups use this and they act as clans, as gangs, and take over. It's really happening. You know, you talk a lot about that. Get into farming. Get into why it's so dark. People don't know how to even ride a bicycle on average anymore, or get away from their iPhones, much less skin a buck around a trot line. But you're optimistic, I know, in some ways, but this is just an insane time to be alive. AI data centers, they get all the energy they want, but humans can't drive a car, it's bad for the earth. I mean, this is really a very draconian system. What do you think, who's at the top of the wizardry? Who's at the top of the New World Order? What is their goal that they were left unchecked?
The higher you go up in the wizard pyramid, the more hollowed out, vacated, and pathetic they get. So, and what you were talking about, you know, what's coming down the pipe during COVID, instead of do not comply, I was always saying do not rely, because the thing that the wizard always relies on is you needing them for something. And that's how, you know, we saw that in Gaza, like what happens when a group of people is completely reliant on another group that doesn't like them for their water, their food, and everything. And so the key is to not allow yourself to get to that point. And it starts very simply, where that's why I have Ladle TV and a well and I grow my own food is because I realized that the only thing they have over you is fine. Then you don't get to use PayPal. Then you don't get to be on Twitter. Then you don't get to come to our fun sodomy parties. And I'm like, all right, I'm done. I don't want to go to any of your things. And so it can be tiring. It can get intense, but it's a lot more exhausting to live in cognitive dissonance and live a lie and just always be a little nervous and scared that the person driving the car that you rely on hates you. You know,
and by the way, memory serves, I've known you like at least 10 years. You weren't into farming. You just had this idea. Now you've gotten pretty good at it and you've expanded. And you that looks like a horrible office you have there, a terrible place to live right there. That's not blue screen, folks. That's very beautiful. Tell radio listeners where you're at right now.
Yeah, I'm in North Idaho. This is we crowdfunded a campground during COVID so that we could have meetups and get-togethers and weddings and stuff like that. So I'm just here for the day. I thought it'd be a nice place to talk to you with. And then my farm is about an hour south where we have chickens and goats and cows and alpacas. And I have four sons. And it's funny, like I made labor. You know, there's this labor shortage, and I made labor with my penis. And
you didn't go buy a tractor or a mule. You just made it with your wife.
Exactly. I made it the old-fashioned way that's really fun and exciting. So, you know, I think the future is bright and horrifying. It just all depends on whether or not you're externalizing authority or not. I mean, I see people waiting for someone else to fix their problems, and it's not coming. It's only going to get more insane, you know, and whenever people are promising utopia, it's not, you know. And so I see this promise of AI, you know, making it so everybody, no one has to work again and everyone's has everything they ever want. That's not how the world actually works.
Congressman Burchett, I don't think he's a bad guy, Tim Burchett, but he and all these others say, we've been given classified briefings. There's four types of aliens here on the earth. We're communicating with them. There's hidden craft. It needs to come out. It would totally scare you if you knew what's going on. What do you think this giant alien rollout is about?
I don't know, man. I think aliens are more on a demonic level, and I think they hop into people's... I think the more someone's vacated by trauma and wizardry, the more they get influenced by entities that I think is what a quote-unquote alien is. I don't think there's little guys in saucers anywhere, but that's just my personal opinion. I can't prove it isn't true. I just, you know, that isn't the world I've seen. I've never met one, and I've met a lot of strange.
But that's what I'm saying people. And I do think it's interdimensional, and I'm really the first to say that on a big platform years ago, decades ago. But now Congress is saying that, although they come here interdimensionally, and they now have a confirmed DMT test, private firms, government, where people are having the same DMT hallucinations at the same time, the laser test, where you see the code of the Matrix. I mean, there is a lot of wild stuff happening, and regardless, there's about to be a lot of disclosure, but I think a lot of fake disclosure mixed in with it.
Yeah, I think it's fake disclosure. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen Jerry Marzinski, but he's a prison psychiatrist who was dealing with schizophrenics in prison, and he was the only guy to ask them what the voices were saying. And I think they based that movie Nefarious on him. Like, I had him on my show once. You should have him on. He's amazing. But he's like asking these prisoners, like, what are the voices saying? And it was like lining up. You know, like there'd be a voice in his head, like, there's a cigarette in the dumpster. There's a cigarette in the dumpster. You know, the guard will come in 30 seconds, stab him and get the cigarette. And it's like, and it would be real. And so I think a lot of times what people call schizophrenia or some of these mental illnesses are they're like, you know, their tuning fork is a little tweaked so that they're kind of picking up on these other realms, you know?
Oh, that's 100% what it is. And when you study black magic and all the ancient religions and cults, they were doing bad things that these entities wanted them to do, then they would give them some advanced knowledge.
Yeah, 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 totally. But they're liars, too. It's like, that's what Jerry would figure out. They, like, the higher echelons of these demons would give their victims something that would profit them in this world, like some kind of technology or information that would get them short-term money. But long-term, they hate people, you know, and they want your destruction. It never ends well, but they'll juice you up in order to try and get people to humiliate themselves. And they love trauma because, you know, an embodied man or woman, like someone that has coherence, like they think, they say, and they do the same thing. Demons have a hard time getting in there. That's why they love needles and sodomy and all this stuff. They like penetration and trauma.
There's no doubt that there's an awakening that good and evil exist. I mean, you see it everywhere. And the controlled church is not going to be able to block that. What do you think about, do you think there's a great awakening happening?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a quickening. Like, the lies to the revelation is faster and faster and faster. It's almost like birthing pains that a woman goes through. And that it's an exciting time to be alive. But if people don't take their own authority, they'll get really crushed. I mean, I know I can be optimistic, but if people don't say, like, it's on me, I don't have a grievance. I don't need anything from anybody else. I forgive people, and that doesn't mean you have to like people or have them in your life, but you just don't have a grievance toward them. If people don't do that, there's AI pods, people will be paying money to die. It's like, it's going to get dark out there.
Yeah. You were criticizing Israel like 10 years ago when it wasn't popular and it wasn't safe to do. I've noticed, I watched your show some. You've kind of gotten away from that, but I've heard you say it's because everybody else is already doing it. Plus, there is this thing where all these other low IQ people come in and they then just ascribe everything to it, and it just becomes like a mindless one-up thing. Or I'm trying to quantify what I've heard you say. Where are you on the whole situation with Israel? Because, I never thought Israel ran everything, but now it's trying to run our foreign policy and it's openly trying to censor us and coming after me. And it seems to get more power the more opposite. Like Iran gets more power the more they get attacked. It seems like Netanyahu knows what he's maneuvered Israel into. And where do you see that going?
I mean, Israel is Hogwarts for wizards. I mean, that place is just a spell machine. But yeah, my thing forever has been, I want people to be able to make their own choices. And when people weren't aware of AIPAC or the Sackler family or Teva Pharmaceuticals or Israel's role in the government or quote unquote Jewish liability shields, the permanent victim stuff, I was trying to wake people up to that. I wasn't trying to get people to blame their problems on Jews or Israel. It's because it's kind of like America. It almost makes us feel it makes it us seem like we're the child and Israel's the father, and they're not. And so I don't blame Israel for anything. I just wanted people to be aware of that. And that's why I got so much backlash, because as I said earlier, the wizard requires you to not know that there's not really a rabbit in the hat. And so I think what we're seeing out of the Israelis and the Zionist stuff is a panic, because their influence requires to be hidden. Like, you can't do it in public or else it doesn't work. Like, it has to be, it has to be the whisper. It can't be the
screen.
Sure.
Where do you think this Iran thing is going to go?
I just think Iran's just got a lot richer. They can now charge everyone who goes through the strait. I think America is the good news is, I think a lot of, we're going to be like not having as many bases in the Middle East. But just wizardry, I think they're going to, part of me wants to just encourage Trump and be like, yeah, you did it. Because that's the only way he can get out, is to have everyone
I said that 39 days ago when it started. I said he's going to need an exit now, or he'll keep doubling down. But look, the globalists aren't dumb. BlackRock is super happy now, saying it's the cause of depression. They wanted to set him up to trigger this new decline in the economy. And because they knew how it was going to end, they knew the mullahs weren't going to fall. Up above this was really about COVID 2.0. It's about a great reset.
Yeah, and there's wizards way above the Israelis. I mean, I think a lot of them don't have a long-term plan. They seem very reactionary to me, which seems counterintuitive, but...
Well, that's what Tucker said, reading all the different Epstein files. People, of course, tagged him. Oh, now you're covering for Israel. It's like... No, it's the Rothschilds and then some other big rich people and Epstein telling Israel what to do. That's what I kept explaining, folks. It's like Israel's like this detonator for all this. But then you got the Rothschilds that are anti-Netanyahu at one level, but really aren't. But you read that, and it's like Epstein was the Trilateral Commission in the chair of David Rockefeller that created it, and literally was way more powerful than I even thought. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of these Israelis that a lot of the people see as these all powerful, people, they're the lapdogs. They're the dogs on a leash, and they're very easy to control because their appetites are so low. And I got a theory for you. This is not like a fact. This is just a theory. I think part of this might be a civil war in the Rothschild family, because there was, you know, the references to the Rothschilds in the release. You know, there has to be someone in the Rothschild family doing that, because they wouldn't allow that, you know? And so,
well, hold on, they're not, like you said, though, they're not all powerful. People don't know. The Rothschilds took over the British Empire. They already controlled all the major banks in Europe. Excuse me. At the Battle of Waterloo in 1815 or whatever it was, they said Britain had lost. The Lord Wellington had lost. The stock market crashed 99%. They bought it up. That's historical mainline history. So they now controlled the British Empire, that was the dominant force in the world. And so then they got mega powerful. And so it really is a powerful inbred Jewish family that is the most powerful still. But it even shows at the end, they're so inbred and so down the line that their manager, their emissary was Jeffrey Epstein. And because he worked at that pedophile school with Bill Barr's dad, who wrote the books about raping kids and how great it is, science fiction books about planets of slave children kidnapped from Earth, he then was brought in as a manager. And just like he was brought in as David's stand-in, trained by him in 1990, when he's 30-something years old, he's brought in, and he talks about all this. And it turned out it's in the documents, and a lot of it was public. We weren't looking at it. He wasn't just working for David Rockefeller. He became the legate or the spokesman of him as he got older and older. And it just turns out, once all the Rothschilds are inbred and been rich for dozens of generations, and same thing with the Rockefellers, Epstein was just, he was like the butler for these guys, but because they were all so decadent, he actually became them. He actually became the guy. It's wild. Like you said, the higher up you get, I know people, a lot of them, but also a lot of people that know a lot of people, and it's come up, the DuPonts, how they're all decadent and crazy and rich. They're almost all trannies or devil worshippers. Most of their kids commit suicide. It's like that for all these so-called elites. They are in hell. They are trying to project their own demonic sickness onto us. It's not just they want to hurt us, which they do. They're just trying to get us to drink the same poison they did.
100%. And it's like the love of money is the root of all evil. They're so inbred because they don't want to lose any money. That's why they marry their cousins and nieces and nephews and become like such freaks. And yeah, I think the elites would disappoint a lot of people. Like, if you actually talk to them, they're not as smart as you think. They're not as, you know, powerful. They have crippling addictions. Their kids hate them. They're cursed. A lot of them are very, very cursed. And speaking of wizardry, think about how funny it is that Barr and Epstein, like, that's what the herpes virus is called, Epstein-Barr. And I always just think little things like that are like little winks. There's comedy in this that you can't write, like Bernie Madoff with your money, Ellen DeGenerate, you know, Magic Johnson. It's like Epstein Barr. It happens over and over and over again, where it's almost like, you know, the Federal Reserve was started by a guy called Warburg. You know, it's almost like you get more wizard points if it says what you are in your name and people still agree with you, where it's like,
oh, that's lesser magic. They have to metaphysically tell you.
Yeah, totally. It's like, oh, I'm going on a date with, Chad Rapeman, you know, it's like Rapeman. It's like, yeah, Rape Man, or like Theftberg. And so I think, yeah, I think if your name says what you are, where it's like, you know, Bernie Madoff with your money, it's like, I think that they get more.
Yeah, but in all
points.
The cultures, take English, it's you're a miller. Well, you're a long line of people that mill grain, or all the old names of everything. It says what your family was.
Yeah, Anthony Weiner. He loves showing you his penis. There's so many of them are named after Weiner. It's like the head of the Olympics is named Dick Pound, you know? And I'm like, couldn't you just say Richard? Like, his book, it says written by Dick Pound. And I'm like, why? And then I figured out that there is a sexualization to wizardry where to get these images and these words in your head where you don't really realize it. Like right now, two of the astronauts in Artemis are named Cox and Glover, and it's like Cox Glover. It's like, you know, you're like saying Cock Glover, you know? And I think that's part of it. That's why they're all shaped like penises.
Also, it's Moloch or Baal, the bull, is the symbol of Artemis.
Oh, interesting.
Did you see the Artemis 2 patch? You flip it, it's a bull. 100% Moloch.
Well, I mean, that's what our markets are. Like, the bull and the bear is some ancient pagan stuff, you know, where it's like, here comes the bull, here's the bear. And as someone now, like, doing animal husbandry has changed the way I see everything, because the wizards view us like animals, and they're farming our consciousness with word spells, and they're doing crop rotation, our feed. You know, you have a feed trough. Our feed is Twitter. Here's your feed for your consciousness, you know? And I think we're in a revelatory state, and the cards are being laid on the table, and everyone's seeing who really was wearing underpants and who wasn't. And kind of like what you said earlier about how I was warning people about this stuff 10 years ago, I feel a lot better now, because I used to be, I felt a lot more like ostracized. Like, people would look at me like the way I saw the world was so insane. And now I don't have that tension as much. And so I just feel a lot more comfortable, you know, even though we're facing a lot of problems, I don't feel like there's as much tension with the world at large.
I agree with you. If the globalists don't blow us all up or release a real virus or whatever, I said this about 2-3 years ago. I said, I feel like my primary mission, that people are going to awaken now on average, at least have their choice to make the right decision. And now I've got a lot of important work still to do, but we've kind of got to the top of the mountain. And
yeah, and keep your word, because trust is the hugest thing. Like, if you can say something and people believe you, you're going to be Superman in the future.
That's right, because people are losing confidence in everything. But that is the problem. I'm sure you've seen this alternate history stuff where they go, look at this building in Detroit. It must be 1,000 years old. Humans didn't build it. They don't know you can go to the old historical societies or the libraries and find the books. Or, you know, they say, this courthouse isn't real. And I guess their families don't pass down the names or picture books of how great-great-grandpa helped build it. They don't understand that we've degenerated. They look at all this cool stuff we built. They go, oh, there's no way that was us, because we can't build it now. You know, they say today people couldn't even build D.C. We don't even have the craftsmen to build D.C. today.
Yeah, because I think it's a coping mechanism that it's like, well, how can you build that? These giant, you know, the Philadelphia City Hall, any brick, you can't even bring it in on a road. And so you think, oh, aliens, it must be, you know, another civilization. Or people were just really good at this stuff. You know, someone recently called me a Middle Ages peasant because I was, you know, making fun of NASA or something. And I showed the cathedral in Cologne. I'm like, thank you. Like, look at what they can build, you know? And I'm trying to reconnect with that part of my life where, you know, I had a great grandfather that carved this bed that I slept in as a kid. And it was just so beautiful. I just remember looking at it almost like how people would look at a courthouse. Like, is that an alien who did that? And it was like, oh no, it was your grandfather from, you know, from Switzerland or something. And I want to be more like that. I want to be more real, you know?
Absolutely. And then people are so inept, me too, compared to my ancestors, when it comes to doing real stuff. They think that can't, we didn't do that. Because they have no idea. All right, we'll be right back. You're going to host most of the next hour. I got some final news to head. Stay with us. So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now, new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer, is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexshow.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theellishowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.